Just so I know, are we expecting anyone else, or are you guys waiting for me to finish eating?
Quite literally, we're just waiting for you to stop. Yeah,
just waiting for you to
stop
eat,
stuffing your face,
bastard,
basically. Yeah.
Give me two more minutes.
I'm going to abuse you. I'm going to abuse you for
this. Oh, you know what? Dan loves his,
my younger brother.
Corey likes his rolling start, so.
Yeah. I'm quite happy to go whenever, and I'll just go on mute and mop it up as we go.
Now, I say, just anyone, if this ends up being a rolling start per Corey, the chomping you can hear is our guest host there, Dan, just enjoying his peri-peri chicken and chips. So this is what we have to deal with, people. Here we are, Jordan and I, very professional, and we bring in this mug.
It's unbelievable. If anyone's familiar with the concept of Nando's in the UK, this place is like unbelievable in New York. And I'm not making any apologies for the noise or the smell that is in my apartment at the moment. This is phenomenal.
Can I just say, even better than the chomping sound was the fact it's so hot your nose is running. I just heard you snort. Right. Like, oh damn!
This is like Buna level curry, but on peri peri. It's knockout. Yeah, phenomenal.
Oh man, I've got an amazing screenshot of the three of us there whilst you're describing your feed.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, let's get going, boys.
I'm Ryan Yates, and you're listening to Forest Fancast in North America.
Welcome to the best podcast in the entire world called the Forest Fancast. I am your host tonight. We have no Corey. Corey is actually in mine in Jordan's homeland, getting blitzed, touring around England, trying out all the pubs. I think the last photo he sent us was of whiskey, I think, but he's doing it right, so fair play to him. So tonight I'm joined, as always, by my mate Jordan, and we also have a special guest. And if we did go with a rolling start, again, that's down to Corey when he edits up the show. You'll have already heard his dulcet tones. And this episode, we welcome Dan back to the show. All right, lads, how's it going?
Hey, mate. Great to see you. Corey's really living at large back home, right? Like, he's making me miss the UK a little bit. But Christmas is coming soon, so we'll be heading back. But I think he's drunk the UK dry by the sounds of things. He's really enjoying the odd public houses over there. So, just props to Corey, and we'll see how we do without him. But my money's on us having a bit of a belter of an episode this week. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. So first of all, I know you guys attempted to record an episode with Tom Wardle, so I feel like I'm his stand-in, but he's had a better offer and he's in LA recording his latest single. So, you know, I just step in when these guys are off doing the Hollywood stuff. but before we get too carried away with Corey having a great time in the UK, I actually exchanged messages with him while I was over there. And I'm weary of biting the hand that feeds, given that he'll probably edit this and I'll come off worse in this scenario.
Go for it.
I do have to say that he made the decision, and maybe rightfully so, given that he was trying to keep those he was traveling with happy, but the decision to go and watch Chelsea Christmas.
You know,
sorry, Corey.
I do love the parallels that sometimes happen on these shows. You're right, we do not have Tom Wardle on the show now. Unfortunately, we, much like Forrest's game this season that got waterlogged and called off and had to be rescheduled, this podcast had to be rescheduled. But again, just like in that game where Forrest didn't let any food go to waste, here we have Dan not letting any food go to waste. And as if just to close up the Tom Wardle reference, Dan has a guitar on his wall behind him. So homage to Tom, perhaps. But yeah, Tom did a fantastic job. We're gutted, aren't we, Jordan? Gutted we couldn't save that show.
Oh, human. I couldn't believe it. We had such a good episode. And yeah, of course we're going to say that because no one will ever be able to hear it. But yeah, real shame it can go through. We'll definitely get Tom back on And I really enjoyed my surprise that I'll act surprised about when we do it again in the future, another time. But Tom, thanks for taking the time and sorry the audio didn't work. So we're hoping we have better luck today and that everyone's able to hear a bit of the episode that we tried to record last week.
All right, boys. Well, let's just jump straight into WTF. You know that Corey wants us to. You want to lead us off, Jordan?
What the forest?
Yeah, what the forest? The first what the forest really is, you know, I was watching the Derby game and, you know, I couldn't help get this thought out the back of my head. And I thought I was seeing things and I wasn't feeling very well, but I saw Tom Lawrence and Mason Bennett just on the pitch and in the squad. Like, what? Aren't they meant to be in jail right now or something like that? Like, I thought it was me. I thought that was really bizarre that they're playing football. And, you know, I thought a club of such moral standing as Derby County would, you know, punish players for their indiscretions. And, yeah, just thought it's very odd. And then Tom Lawrence was in the Wales squad and Ryan Giggs, that pillar of morality and and highbrow behaviour and conduct off the pitch, picked him for the Wales squad too. So yeah, a bit of a what the forest moment. I don't know what people are playing at when these guys are able to continue with their jobs and livelihoods.
I was just disappointed that Derby didn't choose that moment to go ahead and bring out their new away kit. They could have sported their new orange uniform with the black arrows.
It's nuts, isn't it? It's honestly nuts.
Yeah, it is honestly nuts. Yeah,
it is nuts, but at the same time, having watched that game, I'm not saying they got what they deserved. They deserved a lot worse, but Tom Lawrence was awful in that game. The crowd got to him. I don't think it's been commented on enough how badly and how rattled he was. So if there's anything to come from it, it's the fact that when you said they were allowed to carry on playing football, there was no football played there. It was a pure bottle job, I think.
Fair play.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I hope everyone's booing Anton Deck too, right? On I'm a Celebrity, as per the guidance on Twitter, right? Anyone that is, you know, convicted of drink driving, we should be treating them with booze at the same time. So now I'm a Celebrity's got going, making sure everyone gets that. And if you don't get that reference, just have a look on Twitter. You'll easily find it. It's a bit of a Derby fan just complaining that we should be being consistent with our views of people that drink drive.
What the
What the forest? Guys, had to circle back around to this one. It's been a couple of weeks ago now. I know Jordan and I were both very sad to see Alexander Milosevic depart the club. I think we agreed that he was perhaps the best defender on the roster. Certainly one of the top two or three. But nonetheless, he was released by Forest. On his way out, though, wonderful little Twitter spat with Hannah Forest. She ran her mouth again. Saying to all the fans who are confused about Milosevic, he had disciplinary issues and Forest were right to get rid. End of. But Milo, this is one of the reasons we love him. No, it wasn't going down like that. He tweeted her back, "Stop spreading shit, please." I love the use of the word please there, like that makes it better. But fair play. How often do we see players, you know, kind of just stand up for themselves, and you've got to give a nod. That is quality stuff. Hannah then imploded, as did her Twitter feed. Chaos ensued for the next 48 hours. Marvelous stuff.
The bit that confused me about this is I assumed Hannah Forrest was one of Jordan's 12 Twitter alter egos.
So we had this debate last time. Like, I'm still like in a camp of, is Hannah Forrest real or not? Like, I feel like it must be a parody account, but then at the same time, I really buy into this, you know, learning difficulty story that's also out there. So I'm just genuinely in this, like, is it true? Is it not? Piece, but no, it's not quite one of my other accounts that I've used. But yeah, it was, what a story that, like. Oh, I'm just more frustrated that my best Forest 11 has just been completely dismantled since I announced it about four episodes ago. I'm already one centre-back down, and now a lot of the other players aren't even near the squad. So I'm going to have to rethink my best 11 as we move forward, and we probably do a little New Year mid-season sense check, I think. I'll have to revisit it.
It's the hashtag Thielen effect. But you pick them up and they get taken out the picture.
What the fuck?
I was just trying to subtly say, Dan, you're next. Now Corey has something to edit. Sorry, Corey. I tried, sure, mate. Dan was still too busy picking chicken out of his teeth. Sorry.
I was. And also, I wasn't sure whether that was a Dan, you're next or Dan, shut your mouth. Oh. I wasn't sure how passive aggressive English we were being versus like all out American.
We wouldn't do that to a guest. We do it to Jordan, but we wouldn't do it to a guest.
Let me leave a quick 3-second pause in case that bit needs to stay in or out. So, What the Forest, I had the pleasure of attending Luton away, which in itself was an experience. The pleasure was all mine because I got to meet the better looking, younger, funnier and more intelligent Thielen brother while I was there.
There we go.
But yeah, so met up with Jordan's younger brother and also Dean, who was in from Wisconsin. So we went to that game. We didn't realise at the time, but a video broke about a week later. I think it was the same day as the Derby game. There was a tweet by London Trickies, and essentially it showed a Forest supporter making a racist comment towards a steward at the game. May have been under the influence of one thing or another, but essentially there's no excusing what he said. I think in the past with Forest, this could have gone a different way and it could have imploded on Twitter, but then quickly imploded elsewhere. We could have made statements that weren't right, that missed the point. Forest came out this time, did exactly the right thing, said they were looking into it, said they'll consider, you know, a harsh punishment of that individual up to and including a lifetime ban from Forest. And essentially it came and went as it should do. Everyone called them out. The problem was dealt with, and you know that individual won't be let back anytime soon to make such remarks in the Forest forum. I'm just hoping also that from this it leads to some kind of education around making sure that I'm sure he's not the only person out of 30,000 that go every week that have certain viewpoints that aren't really acceptable. So I'm just hoping that it leads to some education as well, not putting the onus on Forest to do that, but just generally around Forest, making sure that people, you know, stand up for what's correct when they see these things. So I think well done to everyone involved, and What the Forest, but also a silver lining that we've treated it in a good way. So another sign that the club's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just shocked to see Jordan's brother act that way.
We're killing him already.
I do have to say, while we're on the Thielen bashing front, he did turn up very close to kickoff, i.e. after kickoff. So I made my way back to sort his ticket out, and he'd had to walk about 20 minutes through the terraced streets of Luton in the absolute pouring rain, and he was wearing a woolen coat. So the guy weighed about twice as much as he had done when he left his car. But I think that was the same for a lot of people involved. But fantastic day out, minus the event that I just referred to.
The following morning, that jacket would be two sizes smaller as well.
Yeah, one, two things about my brother that people will be very familiar with the more you meet him is, one, he puts fashion ahead of practicality a lot of the time. So what, you know, he'll have worn a big coat that wasn't properly, suitable for the occasion. And secondly, he takes after his father with regards to timekeeping. He's never one that appears on time. So Dan, apologies for him turning up. But shout out to you, Dom, because I know you do listen. So miss you, mate, and look forward to seeing you at Christmas. And glad you armed Dan with a lot of banter that I'm sure he's going to continue to give me as we go through the episode today. Moving on to more majestic items to talk about. What the Forest?
What the Forest?
They played with freedom on the pitch and they fought for freedom off it. So when you wear the shirt, remember what they did. Joe Mercer, Tom Peacock, George Hazard, Percy Ashton, and William Fisk of the Sherwood Foresters. This is Nottingham. This was the Forza display that the boys did to commemorate Armistice Day ahead of the Derby game. And what an outstanding tifo that was. Really setting the standard for fan-provided and fan-funded and fan-developed support for our club, and just builds on, you know, all the great work that Forza Garibaldi have already done, and, you know, really outdone themselves again this time round with the display. I just wanted to shout out two people with regards to that. Tim Godden, who developed the artistry and the artwork. You know, I was wondering why the Forza Garibaldi kind of avatar and all their social media accounts had changed with a bit of a Nottingham Forest FC ball, but now we know what that was all about, as that was the ball being held in the image. So shout out to Tim for the artwork there. And people can find him on Twitter at TJ Godden, G-O-D-D-E-N. So please give him a follow and a shout out for that great work if you haven't done so already. And secondly, for the video that Forza Garibaldi produced alongside that, with kind of Gary Birtles and Joe Worrell in it, and built off all the, you know, fantastic war veterans that also shared names with Forest players. Brilliant video. And Alex Bowser developed that video, and that he's at Balls and the Deep, B-A-U-S and the Deep on Twitter. Two fantastic contributions to it. And, you know, also shout out to Greg and Matt from Forza Garibaldi for putting that all together. I don't know how they're going to beat it, and they can't keep beating their previous TIFOs every single time they do them. So shout out to all of the Forza Garibaldi lot. And there is a link on their page for PayPal donations to contribute to the next one. So really encourage everyone to chip in and help them put on another absolute stonker of a display. So congratulations, guys, and a fantastic memorial to those that serve both our team and our country.
Yeah, well said, my friend. It's coming back to Dan's point of just a few moments ago in regards to Forrest's response to that racist fan abusing the Luton steward, and the way that the club responded to it. It feels right now, it has felt for some time, in fact, like Forrest are doing it right, whether it's in the back office, whether it's on the field, whether it's in the community. They're just making good choices. They're just making good decisions and shining the club in a really good light. And Forza Garibaldi have been at the forefront of that as well. I remember, I'm also a bit of a Roma sympathizer. Spent some time at the Stadio Olimpico, seen a few games there. Love going there because of the energy and the atmosphere. And one of the things the Italian fans do right, a lot of things they don't do right, again, looping back to the earlier Luton comment. but one of the things they do right are TIFOs, are those displays, elevating the energy in a stadium and getting people off their seats and excited. You don't really see that so much in the English game. And what Forza Garibaldi are doing is really remarkable. And so, yeah, that display was incredible. It was touching. It was perfect. It was poignant. And it was just another great way to represent Nottingham Forest within Nottingham, within Britain, and on the international stage as well. So fair play, boys. Quality job.
And I may just say as well, my word, those guys put some effort in. They all have day jobs, and I know, like we all do, we do things around Forest as, you know, a bit on the side and try and find an hour in the evening to do one thing or another. some more than others. But Matt and Greg, and they get name checked all the time. They're kind of the Ant and Dec of Forza Garibaldi. But there's a group of like 10 or 15 of them, and I don't know many of them well. But every time I've run into contact with someone, the loose affiliation of the Forza Garibaldi group, they put in some serious hours. Like they sacrifice a lot on a personal level to do this. And of course, they love the club and they love doing it. I'm glad they're getting the recognition, and I haven't really seen, usually with these things, you get the odd negative comment on Twitter, and that can just sour things a bit for the individuals involved if they read one or two things. I'm glad that everything is overwhelmingly positive, because ultimately we need to be encouraging, you know, I'm sure there'll become a point where people go, oh, well, that display wasn't as good as this one or whatever else, but you need to encourage people to be doing this, because, you know, they're probably putting as many hours into this as they are the day jobs in some weeks when this stuff happens. And it's incredible, really. So I think we owe them a debt of gratitude for kind of showing the way as to how to put the energy into the club, and it becomes self-fulfilling after a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, lads, let's turn our attentions to the last two games. I think in the prior podcast, not the one that didn't work with Tom, but the one, the one prior to that, we had nothing but defeats to discuss and we were feeling pretty low. Forest had turned things around. So thankfully, we now have nothing but victories, two of them, in fact. So let's start with the aforementioned Luton, where Forest ran out victors at Kenilworth Road. Can I just say, what a fantastic little stadium that is. Just love Kenilworth. Oh, just, it's literally, it's like the football equivalent of a TARDIS, isn't it? You step in, you're transported back to the 80s. Good stuff. Anyway, Forest ran out winners 2-1 at Kenilworth Road, courtesy of goals from Graben and Amiobi. Lads, what are your thoughts on the match? Dan, do you want to lead us off as you were there?
Sure, yeah. So on the match itself, interesting performance, really, because I think it was quite an attacking game, or from what I saw from a position where my eyes were about a foot above the actual playing surface. there was a stanchion in front of me. From what I could gather, there was a lot of wing play. I think this way that we play with a single striker, but trying to get down the wings with the overlapping wing backs. We had four players, or once you include the subs in that, six really down the wings: Cash, Lolly, Amiobi, Adoma, and then Ribeiro. We also had Ribeiro as well. Between them, they just looked dangerous down the wings. That said, to a degree, until there was an injury on the Luton side, I think it is it Bogle that went off. Apologies if that's not the case, but they were actually pretty similar, probably not as effective, but it was a very attacking game. And what it's nice to see is a team try and beat us, because I think that plays to our advantage, hitting on the counter, other teams not sitting back. So yeah, it was an entertaining game to watch. It's a fun away end. They have a one in, one out policy at the bar there. It's like a wedding function room. It's most bizarre. And once you're in there, you're not getting out anytime soon. So yeah, good day all round, good performance. Grabber missed an absolute sitter early on, and I thought that might be a sign of things to come, but he always comes good in the end. So I'm happy with that. I hear Amiobi scored, but again, I couldn't see anything, so I just took the word of people around me who were celebrating and assumed that it was.
It sounds like with a bar where there's a one in, one out policy, and once you're in, you can't get out. It sounds like that's the game Corey should have been at.
Yeah. We've not left the bar though.
So exactly.
No one out. And the Luton game was a frustrating one for us in Canada. Fortunately, we don't have ESPN Plus, and the match wasn't shown on iFollow despite no warning. So the Toronto Truckies reverted to the good old school streaming, although it took us about 30 minutes to find a Chinese/Japanese stream for the game. So we didn't miss much because there weren't any goals for the first good few minutes. So frustrating one on the iFollow side, and just, you know, hope that we kind of sort and continue to improve on iFollow. As you know, it really is a great means of us to follow it abroad, and it is disappointing for it not to be shown. But that grab and goal, that was class. That was class. Kenny Burns, mate, dry your eyes out. What a goal that was.
It was Collymore-esque. It had shades of Collymore, didn't it?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was the power, the strength, the pace, and then just the composure for the finish. Absolutely fantastic goal, and just shows how, you know, Graben isn't this, you know, lazy forward like, you know, he's been kind of portrayed to be at times. He really, really earned that goal. And yes, he missed the sitter earlier on, but oh man, did he ever pay back his debt to the team with that finish. So huge shout out to him for that. Secondly, the Amiobi goal was perfect. I thought he was an absolute pest all game. And we'll come to kind of him continuing his form, as I think we talk about the other games as well. I thought he had a fantastic game and great finish to make it 2-0. But then we kind of had the old Forest jitters again a little bit. Callum McManaman came on and played fantastically well for Luton, scored their goal, hit the bar. We had a couple of disallowed goals towards the end. A bit of Bruce Samba magic kind of kept a few chances away. So, you know, the good news is we ground the result out and we got the 3 points, which is what you need. But potentially some things to be worried about as well with that result.
Oh, can anyone tell me why that first Luton goal was disallowed?
I was actually just about to refer to that. and say and say no.
I wish remind... I could tell because I missed it because the stream froze at that point in time in the bar.
Well, first, as far as Graben is concerned, he's fine, but he just needs to smile more. So until he starts doing that, he's not going to be able to turn his form around.
he won't score against Derby if he doesn't smile, will he?
Definitely not. Wait a second. I don't have my notes here for Derby. Did he even start? We'll come on to that in a second. So I don't want to be a moaning mini, but I do want to be a Ricky realist and say, yes, I mean, to use your terminology, Jordan, yes, we ground out the victory. And that's laudable. I mean, when you're not playing at the tippity top of your game and you can still come away from somebody else's gaff with 3 points, fair dues. But we need to keep in perspective the fact that Luton did have 2 goals disallowed. And the percentage stats, again, I recognise they're the home team, but you know, their percentage stats were 30% to 70% Luton to 30% Forest. In terms of completed passes, Luton were 85%, Forest 69%. Luton bossed in the attacking third. Again, 70% of their play being in the attacking third, Forest only managing 60%. Where Forest did come out on top in terms of stats, and this again maybe speaks to the grit that we're developing as a team. So, double-edged sword. Yes, I'd like to see us be more in control of matches. Yes, I'd like to see us be more creative in the final third and make more of the attacking ability that we have. But when it's backs against the wall, Forest come out top in blocks, in clearances, and in headers. So they are digging in. They are finding a way to get it done. And that's something we haven't been able to say of a Forest team in quite some time. So not really being a moaning mini, just would like to see more in terms of the flair and in terms of what's going on our offensive side of the game. But defensively, doing a great job.
Yeah, realistic Ricky there, eh? No, I agree. I think there's, you know, the team's still not quite clicked. And I think when we do... you know, start to play with a bit more fluidity. And I think it's fantastic. We're still solid at the back and other pieces. But there are times when we don't quite click in, you know, attacking wise. And, you know, I predicted that we'd beat Barnsley 4-1 before the game got called off. But I'm predicting that, you know, there'll be a game coming up where things just, you know, come together and we'll just batter a team. Well, honestly, we could smash a team like 5 or 6-0. Given the solid foundation we have at the back and holding in midfield, things just aren't quite clicking going forward. And, you know, if Graben does get injured, we hope it's after January when we can potentially have a replacement. But, you know, still room for improvement there, which is good. And, you know, when you consider where we are in the table now, where we're kind of fourth, fifth in the league after each weekend, it's really positive signs where we see room for improvement, but we're still in the mix. And it's all around peaking at the right time towards the back end of the season. And, you know, when the games really matter or promotion's on the line, you know, I think we're all familiar of areas for us to improve on, but, you know, great sign that, and, you know, in this league, you can't play well every week, but if you still pick up points, that's only a good thing. So, you know, if we have to win 2-1 playing badly away every week, I'll take that. But let's hope that the results kind of keep themselves up.
You on board with that, Dan, with that opinion, or you think we're wildly off base?
I think you're wildly off base, the two of you. Jump on the bandwagon and have some fun. I think the only thing I'd add is, I agree to an extent, but I honestly think it's hard to get a read at the moment as to whether we could do what we're doing better and therefore, as you say, click, or whether the way that Lamucci is setting us up is designed to do this, right? I don't think you can go into a game and say, well, if the players did what they did better or executed better, we would suddenly have 50% possession. I think this is the design. It's a bit like Karanka. There are parts of it. And even Billy Davis. Billy Davis used to be win at home at all costs and go away and get a point. Right. And I kind of feel like it's like that at the moment. Lamucci isn't coming off the pitch going, we didn't play well, we only had 30% possession, but we got a result. He's coming off saying, I like what we did. So I think people may end up getting disappointed if they're waiting for something to gradually change and for us to become more of a flair team, because ultimately you've got Graben up front and then you're going to have two wingers. We're bringing off those wingers at 60 and 75 minutes every week because they are gassed. And luckily we've got four good wingers now. So I honestly think this is what we are and this is the way he wants to play. So jump on the bandwagon, guys, and get with it. Otherwise, you'll be sadly disappointed.
What is love, eh?
Exactly. As I got corrected today, we are playing on Twitter. I got corrected to say we are playing a defensive midfielder and two number eights. Okay. So if you're not into the two number eights, then you know you're not part of the club.
There you go.
So we got our 3 points. We got our Kenilworth Road with a victory. Next up, we're Derby County at the City Ground. Oh. Did that man Lewis Graven feature again? Yes, he did. Of course, he started, and of course, he had something to say about the result. Forest coming out 1-0 winners, Graven penalising a horrific mistake in the Derby defence. Boys, let's pick the bones out of this one.
Yeah, congrats to our 12th man, Jaden Bogle, there for helping us out with that assist. And I listened to the
I don't know what he was doing. It Bogle's the mind.
We're back with the terrible puns. We'll get a few more in as we go in. Yeah. Shout out to Jaden Bogle for the assist on the goal. Perfect through ball. And the 56-minute Forest magic continues. We thought it was only Super Benny Watson that could smash a goal in at home on 56 minutes, but Lewis Graben, the composure was fantastic. Great finish. Thanks for the 1-0, really, lads. I do have to kind of send also my commiserations to another Derby player, Dwayne Octavius Holmes. The guy got destroyed. Destroyed by our man Silva.
Whatever are you talking about?
Oh, the flip-flap. What a fantastic piece of skill that was. The videos you see of it, you just see the crowd's reaction in the background with all of them just like, oh, what an amazing skill. That was phenomenal. I think that's one of the best things I think I've ever seen on the City Ground turf, was just that moment of skill.
Thiago Silva, of course.
Mr. Holmes, I feel really sorry for me because you just got absolutely posted in front of everyone. Another highlight for me. But the best thing about it was just an early Saturday morning for us. So 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 for you, Mark. So a really early start for you, let alone those guys on the West Coast. But I was on my way to Cleveland for a little road trip. What a way to start my Saturday by, 9:30, we'd beaten our rivals Derby. I was, riding along with Playlist 2 booming in the background. Shout out to the Forza Garibaldi lot again for what an epic playlist that is. Really got me in the mood for a nice little boozy weekend in Cleveland for the long weekend. So, what a result. Thought we were super solid and didn't even look like losing. And Dan, any thoughts from your side? You were there, very jealous because, that real kind of display and tifo at the start must have set an amazing tone atmosphere-wise.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic day. I kind of forget. I've mentioned it a couple of times on Twitter, so I'll probably get roasted for it, but I've been to four games this year, which is, by my standards, a lot. I usually get to maybe one a year if I'm lucky.
You're at my levels now, mate, with that attendance this season.
It might be seven this year, but I've been to four and I'm on 12 points, so the suitcase is getting a bit heavy. I'm getting
hey, you're on 12 points, there's Tom Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Hey! And I must say, before that, before the 12 points this year, and I think Ipswich and Brentford the last two seasons, so that's like six wins in a row for me that I've been to see. Before that, I hadn't seen Forest win in 6 years. So I feel that I should at least bask in that glory. But I can't remember the last time I went to a Derby game. They're rare enough anyway to go to and then to see win. And I just forgot what the atmosphere is like during the game and then after in the pubs, going back over to the Trent Nav, going into town. Via certain orange and white establishments with an owl logo on the way past Meadow Lane. But no, fantastic day. A couple of things from the game. I mentioned it earlier, but I genuinely think, as I said it to the people I was with at the time, I didn't feel sorry for Derby, but I understood how they must have felt, given that we've been in situations where the team hasn't gelled, where there's stuff going on off the field, and you looked at their players on the field, you could tell they didn't want to be there. They weren't up for it. And as much as people were saying, oh, well, we got lucky because they made a mistake. Yeah, they made a mistake because of the situation they were in. So we drove that. You make your own luck. And if you look at Graben, you listen to his interview afterwards, I think it was with Robin Chipperfield or one of the BBC crew. He said, oh yeah, the ball came to me and I just glanced up and saw that the keeper wasn't covering his near post, so I put it there. You watch it back and it's almost like when I failed my driving test, I told the guy I'd looked in my mirrors and he was like, no, you didn't. It was the exact thing. I looked at Graben and I was like, there's no way you saw that. So it's just that instinct where he kind of just had the slightest look a few seconds before, and that's what you need in a player. So that was the positive for me. And I genuinely thought everyone looked up for it. Again, many people have said it, but the kind of homegrown players, if you like, Yates, Worrell and Cash, all look fantastic. And it's nice to see the young players not only playing well, but actually when these big games come along, they're not going into their shells. They're coming out and they're standing up like Yates did the last time around with Keogh. It just, again, you can do all the stuff off the field. You can have Forza Garibaldi, you can have a new stadium. But when you go to the game and you see the players are up for it as well, that's what you're there for, right? So it was well worth the admission fee, even though the admission fee in the hospitality of Forest is absolutely criminal. But you know, I'll save that conversation for another day.
Let me just drop a marker in there for Corey to go ahead and edit that out.
Yeah, criminally brilliant. Criminally value for money. I love you all.
There you go. Big shout out also to Derby's £10 million man, Christian Bielik. Also defended really well for that goal. He was like in a different postcode when that pass came across from Jaden Bogle. So, you know, and I think that speaks well to our recruitment too. When you think of the players we've got, like Samba So, Alpha Semedo, Thiago Silva, all these players probably cost like 2 million combined. And they've spent 10 million on this lad that really just didn't look up for it at all, did he? Like, when you spend that money, you want someone to dominate midfield. And I know he ended up having to play centre back in the end, but there was nothing special there.
Well, let's turn our attention to some of the performances. Obviously, you mentioned Thiago Silva ripping up Holmes. I wonder as he went by him if it was Holmes and away. Holmes and away. But it was a fantastic piece of skill. And yeah, it's made the rounds. I mean, it's going to end up on a t-shirt, isn't it? I've seen the artwork already, so it's only a matter of time before it adorns mugs and toothbrushes and baseball caps and God knows whatever else. But remarkable bit of skill. And that was arguably Silva's best performance in a Forest shirt. I think everybody has said it, and I don't think there's going to be any argument on this podcast. A couple of other performances that stood out for me were Amiobi, who I just felt was a menace and built on what he'd done in the Luton game. He definitely seems to be playing for that next contract. He definitely seems to be up for this. He definitely seems to be at home in Forest colours. I saw an interview with him this week. You guys probably all saw the same as well, the Q&A, which is absolutely fantastic. I encourage any listeners that haven't seen to go check it out. He answers every question with a smile on his face. It's just so great to see, but he just seems to really be enjoying his football right now. And I think he just terrorized the Derby defense. He talked about, Dan talking about, you know, Derby players not looking up for it. Every time Amiobi got the ball, I mean, it looked like they shat themselves. And then Brees Samba as well. It's remarkable that a goalkeeper who, I mean, arguably should be plying his trade in the Premier League, maybe not as a starter, but certainly as a roster player, quite how he found his way to the City Ground for, like, you know, cheapest chips. It's bonkers. I mean, the recruitment policy is crazy. And to my mind, he's the high watermark. He's had a fantastic season. And again, just the guy just never gets flustered. He doesn't know what pressure is. It's remarkable. He takes it all in his stride. And I think as a defender, when you've got that bloke behind you, you just got to feel like you're 20 feet tall. I mean, that's just fantastic.
I don't know another player like him in the game. So we were at Luton, and again, you're really close to the pitch, and we were maybe it's general admission. You sit where you like. So we ended up about four rows from the front. So you're about level with the goal. Second half, they put 4 minutes of injury time up. Samba's just in his own world. So he gets the ball. I think there was a free kick in the Forest box or something to Forest. Yates had been brought down or someone back there. So someone's getting treatment for injury or the referee's talking to someone. Samba rolls the ball out to spot it for the free kick, turns around to the crowd and went, "How long's left?" And everyone was just like, "Well, it's 4 minutes." And then we all looked at each other like, I've got this theory that he's either so tuned into the game that he doesn't see any of that stuff, or he's literally not tuned into the game at all. And he's in his own world and he's just focused on the ball that's floating around. But his game management's superb as well in terms of shithousery. You can see it every time he gets the ball. It's top unbelievable. Floor. It's like when Robbie Savage plays for the opposition and you're just looking at him, just hating it, but also wishing they were on your team. And I get that feeling with him. So,
man.
I totally agree.
What a legend. Samba effect continues. Like, Bruce Samba can have all of my babies. That guy is such a legend. I love it. I'm going to get one of his jerseys when I go back at Christmas. Like, the guy is amazing. And his voice, did you hear his voice this week on the Forest video? It's like one of those Crime Watch muffled voices. It's amazing. The guy is such a legend. I don't think I've had a Forest player that I've felt such a connection to for years. Like, he's genuinely my favourite player right now. And he's just class. Like, the fact that we have him in the team is just amazing. And the saves he makes and everything else. And yeah, it's just outstanding. And the best thing about it is he keeps Mirich out the team. And we missed this after the Derby game. Like, you know, that picture of everyone celebrating and having an amazing time, and we have this moping bloody idiot in the background just ruining photos and scratching his balls or whatever, just looking like he's the sulkiest bloke in the world. Just like, the sooner he goes back to Man City, the better. Get rid of him. And Samba, you're a legend for keeping Mirić out of the team. Like, love you.
I just love the just like vitriol towards Mirić. I think what's going to happen is he's going to stick around. We're going to make the playoffs. Samba's going to get injured. And then Mirić is going to come up with like a playoff final penalty save. And there's going to be loads of people just, eating humble pie. Or Mir's going to score in the last few minutes.
That's not a chance. The best thing is those vote Samba stickers. You know, safe pair of hands, vote Samba. I have no idea what you'd put on it for Mirić. Literally no idea. Like,
got a Marty on, call Mirić.
Yeah, like.
Well, I think he'll end up back in Manchester in January, or he'll end up back in Manchester fleetingly before he's loaned out to somewhere else. I just can't see him being in Nottingham into the new year. Could be wrong, but I'm not sure he will be. Obviously, no one's going to get to hear the lost episode. Again, I was a bit of a moaning mini. You remember, Jordan, about Forest's performance. But again, just because we're a home team and our possession stats were just marginally over 50%. And once again, not doing a whole heck of a lot in the attacking third, despite having more shots than Derby. But you know what? Now that I've had a little bit of time, and I've actually rewatched the game, and also went back and looked at results for the last dozen or so matches. And it's interesting, in the last dozen meetings between these two teams, no team has scored more than two goals on more than two occasions. And you know what the most popular score is from the last dozen games?
1-0.
You got it. Absolutely right. So I think I was expecting a little too much. And it's up to Jordan's point. You know, you've got the emotion of the day, you've got the tifos, you've got, you know, all these players that we just really fall in love with quickly. You just want to see top draw performances from. And we want to batter Derby, right? We already put them to the sword earlier in the season. We want to see a 5-0 at the City Ground. And so I think a little bit of that disappointment was weighing on my shoulders. But again, in the cold light of day, fair play. Another 3 points. Back-to-back victories. Not to be sniffed at. So good job, Forrest.
That was
delete
all right,
the tweets,
isn't it?
Mark. Delete the tweets.
4-0. 4-0 on aggregate this season. I'll take that so far. So heading into leg three, 4-0 up. And, I saw on Twitter that Derby haven't beaten us at the City Ground since 1925 without a manager named Clough managing them. So, you know, we're on the way up. We're rising up. It's nice to be on top in the East Midlands for a while, because we had a few painful, worried moments there under Fawaz and the Billy kind of, petulant 5-0 game. So it's nice to be back on the top and looking over the other end of the A52 with a bit of a smile right now.
Yeah, it really is. And just a shameless plug here, when we're talking about new leadership and we're talking about feel good factor in Nottingham and at the City Ground, if you haven't listened to it yet, check out our Stoppage Time interview with Paul Taylor, who's now with The Athletic, formerly, of course, with the Nottingham Post. He does refer to what's going on in the city of Nottingham and how the leadership at the City Ground are really leading the charge and really just do seem to be in sync with the community there. And it's a great interview. Tales doesn't disappoint, so check that out if you get a chance. Of course, speaking of big news and speaking of the feel-good factor and indeed the City Ground, lads, we're having the builders in. Having a little bit of an extension put on the place. So, Forest obviously released new etchings. I think, and not etchings, my God, what is this? The 1930s. Computer-generated images of what the refurbed City Ground is going to look like. They talked about the additional 10,000 seats. It's going to be in the Peter Taylor stand. I mean, all exciting stuff. The images look remarkable. Not quite Tottenham-esque, but certainly something we can be proud of. Personally, I'm not overly fussed by the design. I'm just very excited that we get to continue to be on the banks of the Trent. That to me is really important, despite the fact we can occasionally get flooded out. What were your thoughts on the announcements this week, guys?
So for me, a bit of a weird take on it. So I in the last, I don't know, 20 years maybe, every stadium redevelopment that's been done has usually been a new stadium. It's not very often now a club goes and builds a stand.
That's right.
In the old school way of, you know, four sides and taking the oldest one down and putting something up new. So I was kind of casting my mind back to the days where you would watch Match of the Day or Sky Super Sunday or whatever in the 90s, and you'd have like a stadium with a side missing, and like Arsenal would put that kind of the mosaic up. They had like a poster board up that was a fake stand with fans in, and it just got me thinking around, first of all, I hope we keep the cameras on the same side, because I have a pet hate shared by a few people on Twitter, including Dave Marples, of teams that go and swap the camera to the other side, and it completely throws me out when the away fans are in the wrong place. It's an OCD thing, but I think it's a legitimate concern that I'm going to voice to the club. But the other thing is, I just like that old imagery of like having the TV camera on a bit of scaffold because there isn't a stand there, and having it just harks back to old school football, or at least old school for me. So that I'm almost as excited about the intermediate period as I am the end result, which when I think of it, I just think that's ridiculous. But
I'm so glad we're not charging people for this content.
there's just something, if you want to pick a phrase for Twitter, there's something romantic about a three-sided football stadium. So I look forward to that period, but when I fast forward to what's going to come afterwards, I think the Forza Garibaldi guys gave a bit of a soundbite to Forest on their social media at the unveiling of the latest plans, and they were talking about a stadium for the community, and I think it's important. I'm sure they'll have, I hear, six levels of hospitality with, you know, extortionate pricing and all of that, and that's part of the game nowadays. But at the same time, they've talked about using the new stand and giving it to the community for events, and to me that's the important side of things, right? I think if you look at the area they're in, you've got areas like the Meadows across the way, across the water, and I want them to do what Olympiacos have done in terms of bringing the community in and, you know, sacrificing a bit of the profit for using local workmen on the build, getting community people in free of charge afterwards. So again, it's kind of like a secondary part of it, but that excites me as well about the way that we're moving forward.
Yeah, I think my overarching kind of thoughts on it is, I think Premier League football is going to look amazing in that new stadium. You know, when we continue our progression right now and Savory Leeds is on the way, it's going to be unreal. But yeah, I'm worried for getting tickets, man, for when I go back. If there's only going to be three stands and we're in, you know, playing games next season, I hope people can save me some tickets on the side. So
you'll be able to get tickets in Notts County, so you'll be okay.
Oh no, mate, not a chance on that one.
So I've had an idea. I've had an idea on that, Jordan. You know, when we went to Wrigley Field last year for the Chicago meetup, and behind the stadium across the road, there were houses that have fully legitimate stands. If you're listening from England and you're not familiar with Wrigley Field and Chicago Cubs, it's literally across the street. There are terrace houses where they have built like 100-seater stands on their roof and they charge admission. I think the way forward is for the terrace streets behind Forest to build stands on them for that intermediate period, and this will solve your problem. So let's go in, let's rent one of those houses, and let's put the old main stand seats on the roof. Job done.
Yeah, we can have an NFFC NA house, and we can like theme it and do something.
Animal House, but
It's definitely going to be something like that. But I think the design looks fantastic, and I think really positive signs about how they've gone about it. Just to echo Dan's comments around the community being locally sourced, I think it's all fantastic. And the engagement has been brilliant. I can't recall another stadium build that's had so much fan voice. I've not seen it, and I think it's brilliant that they're reaching out and asking for people's thoughts. And I'll be sure to complete the survey, and if anyone hasn't, be sure to do that too, because it's a stadium for us, and we're lucky enough to have the opportunity to contribute to it, and really excited to see how it all comes up and comes out in the end.
Well, regardless of what they do to the City Ground, it will never be Pride Park, and we can always be thankful for that.
Talking about mosaic fans and putting plastic pieces in fans, there we go.
And I give my second shameless plug as well for our Paul Taylor interview, and this is Dan's fault, but he mentioned Olympiacos, and Paul actually went out to Greece and spent some time with the leadership out there, toured the stadium and also some of the associated facilities, and I'm not going to steal our thunder by revealing what he saw, but needless to say, spoiler, he was very, very impressed. And I think certainly some of that DNA has made its way over to Nottingham because, of course, of the shared leadership to the club. So, excited to see the news, excited to see the fan engagement, but also fan enthusiasm for the project as well. And really excited to see the final product.
It's been a long time coming for us too, right, when we think about it. And we might get our Miracle Men gates in the end as well. The much rumoured installation for the past like 8 years or something now. So excited to see what comes out of all of this.
So we have a running order for all of these pods. Before we get recording, we always go through the running order, talk about what we're going to do. This is something that I didn't put into the running order, guys, because it just occurred to me that I am with NFFC NA. See how easy it is, Corey. leadership royalty here. In that we have two of our fearless leaders in Dan and Jordan. So, boys, as I'm building up here with this big, hey, guys, talk to us about news to do with NFFC NA. Think about some stuff. So, so obviously these are the lads who have been very heavily involved in organizing get together both last year and the upcoming one in Austin. Nashville. this coming March, right?
It is March 20th weekend.
I have a tattooed on my arm. So, gents, anything you want to share with us about the get together next March or anything to do with NFFC NA that our listeners would be interested in?
Yeah, so I think we're getting very, very close to the hashtag book the flights announcement. We have a potential bar venue, which is amazing. We got worried for a little moment. So we're hoping that there'll be an announcement in due course so that we can really kind of cross the T's and dot the I's on this one. And then we'll get planning on all the other fun stuff and memorabilia and other pieces that we might be bringing with us down to Nashville. Dan, is there anything else or have I said too much already?
No, I think that's reasonable. In terms of hashtag book the flights, if it makes anyone feel any better, I've already hashtag booked the flights. So I'm confident that we're good to go.
Wait, hang on a second. Yeah, just checking. That was the sound of nobody being surprised, Dan.
let's be clear. I did it with points, so there was no
problem. Well, all those flights to the UK paid for right. by your company, mate. You know, I think you're going to have plenty.
Yeah, for certain. I am on some weird Embraer RJ145 propeller plane, though, so we'll see whether I make it or not. But I think so. If it was down the street, we'll be saying to people, yeah, get it sorted. We're just conscious that it's a big financial commitment, it's a big time commitment, so we want to make sure we've got it absolutely perfect before we say to people, go and spend your hard-earned money and come and join us. But if the plan comes together as it looks like it will, then we will have a good weekend. We'll have a good bar as a base. We'll have the game on. We'll have alcohol, which in Tennessee isn't the easiest thing to arrange on a weekend morning. And we're hoping to get a few other things sorted as options to people. And I will just say, last year in Chicago, it's been mentioned before, but it was kind of a turning point for the North American side of things. And it can't be said enough that the amount of effort that Sean put into that as well. He's got bigger things on his plate now and big things coming up. So he's handed the reins over, but we're hoping we can do as good a job as he did for Chicago. And if that's the case, then hopefully it's a good weekend. So yeah, if you're listening and you're thinking of coming March 20th to 22nd, the game's obviously on the Saturday against Bristol. And we're hoping for a good turnout. Should be a good weekend.
Yeah, I didn't make the one last year, so this is going to be my maiden voyage. You're going to be popping my cherry, boys, so be gentle with me.
Mate, there's no better place than Broadway in Nashville for it either, man. It is such a good venue.
I struggle. So. I have a bias with Nashville because I just could not be doing with country and Western music in any way, shape, or form. So I just have a natural bias toward it. That being said, I've never had a bad night in Nashville.
That's literally
they've always gone well. Yeah, they've always gone well, and they've always become the following morning.
Yeah, I'm so worried about making the game. Like when I land on that Friday afternoon, yeah. I'm going to be the most excited kid in the world. And I love Nashville, so I'm really worried because it's an hour behind Eastern time too. It's going to be a 9 a.m. kickoff. I'm genuinely worried. I'm going to have such a great time that Friday night. I'm going to struggle, but. I'll try and pull it out of the bag.
I think we may be in luck because we might have picked it accidentally, although we can take credit for it if we wish, as the clocks change differently in different countries again. So we might be on for a 10 a.m. So that extra hour could prove crucial, I think, in as actually making it to watch anything Forest-based on a Forest weekend. The only other thing I'll add is as well, and I'm not, it's not a spoiler alert in any way because we haven't actually organised it yet, but it's likely that Tom Wardle is going to come down. And we're trying to find a space for him. Well, I say a space for him. He's a professional musician, so he's trying to find a gig. if we can get that organised, that would be fantastic. So from a country and Western perspective, you might have an alternative because I don't think that's his genre of choice. So if we can get something set up as well with Tom, then that would be an awesome start to the weekend on the Friday or maybe Saturday evening. Although if it's Saturday and we're on it from 9, I've got a feeling we won't care whether it's Tom or anyone else for that matter, or even be aware that anyone is on stage. Probably Jordan's going to be on stage at that point in some capacity, that's guaranteed.
If only you could have heard the last episode, Dan. Oh,
live podcast though, lads. We need to think about this live podcast for us as well. Yeah. Little halftime live pod.
Oh my goodness, off the back of beer.
Oh man.
Is there such thing as a double explicit rating?
I'll be there in my Bruce Samba shirt. Ready and ready.
Amazing. Wonder how many people are going to leave Nashville with matching tattoos. All right, guys, as we're in the groove of looking to the future, yes, this doesn't happen by accident, guys. This pod is so well engineered. Let's turn our attention to predictions. So, Jordan, what do we have coming up here, mate?
Well, I just want to pause before we go up because we've got a bit of news to announce. Mark's not the worst predictor on our podcast anymore. So, congratulations, mate. I had 1-1 in the Derby Forest game. You're now on 15 points to my 14. Congrats.
I'm checking my bag of fucks here. Yeah, I have absolutely none to give.
I think the worst thing is we're, what, like 16 games in, and Kyle Porter would have got our points totaling 5 of them. So we're literally 30% as good as Kyle. So we've got a bit of a long way to go here. But we're still in it, and hopefully the next three games will get us back on track. So first, I think we should do three games. Got three games coming up in quick succession. So we've got Bristol away on Saturday, QPR at home midweek, and then Cardiff at home the following Saturday as we kind of wrap up November and go head into December. So we'll work through each one. So let's start with Bristol. Mark, what's your thoughts on Bristol City away on Saturday?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Bristol City, they're a tough team. They're a tough proposition, home or away, but they're a particularly tough team at their gaff. And it's not been an especially successful hunting ground for us over the last few years. So anyone who's listened to this podcast regularly will know that A, I don't really care about predictions, and I'm about to contradict myself because I'm sure whatever I submitted, and Dan's, Dan looking at it, whatever I submitted previously, I'm about to contradict myself. But the other thing you need to know about me is I will never, even in the face of blaring reality, ever predict a Forest defeat. So despite the fact I think it's going to be a difficult game, I'm going to go with a 1-1.
Dan?
So first of all, I'm a scientist by academic background, and I'm baffled that Mark has not predicted Forest to lose, yet he is nearly bottom of the prediction league when we're in the table.
And that there is a skill. I mean, I deserve extra points for that.
Yeah. And I must say, I wasn't actually looking at the predictions. I was looking at Bristol's form, because I have to say, I know they're sixth in the league and they're equal on points with us, but their form is erratic. They lost, if you go back a month, they lost 3-0 at Luton, right? Now, you could say that's a bad result, or you could say it makes our result at Luton look pretty good. They then beat Charlton with 10 men.
Yeah.
And then they drew with Barnsley and Wigan, and then they got a win away at Cardiff. So it's difficult to predict. So I think in the prediction league, I went with a Forest 1-0. But to be honest, when you look at those next three games and you even them all out, I'm going with a score draw of some description, maybe 1-1, because I just think they at home they look pretty decent. So yeah, 1-1. We don't seem to be that good off the back of an international break, and I think it might just take us a week or so to get into our groove.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a hat trick of 1-1 prediction, lads, from my side. Like, Bristol City are utter merchants of a draw as well. They get a few draws in there, backers to kind of keep it tight, and you know, I think a 1-1 is fair. So I think, based on all of our predictions, bet your house on a 1-1 draw, lads, because the cash is coming in. So I might put a bit of Matty cash on a 1-1 draw at the weekend, given that we're all in agreement here. So yeah, we'll see what happens on that one. Next one then is QPR at home on Wednesday. The return of Warbs as he comes up to the City Ground again in his new guise as QPR manager. So we'll flip it around this time, and Dan, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on the QPR game, mate?
So I'm going to concentrate again on the opposition, because I think we know that, given the players that are fit for Forest, we kind of know now we're in a groove of who we're going to pick. We'll have just come back from Bristol. You look at QPR, and they're only a couple of places behind us, and I think 3 points off us. But they've not won in four. They lost to Leeds, they lost to Brentford, and they've drawn with Reading and Middlesbrough. So their recent, it kind of reminds me of Warburton when he was at Forest. It was kind of attractive. Almost, you could argue, the opposite of what the two of you were talking about from a Forest perspective. Grinding out wins with football that isn't the most attractive necessarily for 90 minutes, whereas Warburton plays this nice, attractive football, and then the results are anyone's guess. So I'm hoping at home we get a win, and I think we'll score a couple of goals, because we know Warburton's defensive strategies aren't usually up to scratch, and they concede a couple of goals most games they play. I think I went with 2-0 Forest on paper, but I'm probably going to say 2-1, because I think they'll probably squeeze a goal. Forest 2-1 win.
Mark?
What he said. The only thing I would add to that is I was one of the Forest fans that was really sad to see Warburton go. I actually thought he was doing a pretty good job. I think he was building something. I like his style of football. I think what he did at Brentford was really impressive. Pulled the trigger on that one too early. The only variance from what Dan said ultimately is I'm going to go with a clean sheet and say Forest get this one 2-0.
Decent. Samba effect continues on that one then, Mark, for you. Mm-hmm. So I've gone similar, but I feel like, the QPR team have scored quite a few goals. So I've gone 2-2 on this one. And rationale for that is Naki Wells always scores against us. And they've got Charlie Austin in the mix too. So I think they've got a few chances to...
Mr. Zillaframe.
To score a few goals against us here. So I've gone 2-2 on this one, and I'm hoping I'm proved wrong. But like you said, it's a lottery whenever Mark Warburton's team's playing. I think there might be a bit of a goal fest. So I went 2-2 on this one. So let's roll into the last one here. Cardiff City at home next Saturday. New super manager, Neil Harris, from replacing Neil Warnock. How do you think we're going to get on, Mark, with this one?
Well, firstly, I like that pickup. I think Neil Harris is going to be a great fit for Cardiff, and I think he'll do good things there ultimately. Maybe not in the short term, but you know, there's not much wrong with Cardiff. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the league. They're also one of the teams that have conceded the most goals as well, and they do like their high scoring draws, and draws are what have killed them this year. That's why Warnock was encouraged to sling his hook. So I think, like I said, I think Harris will get him back on track. But given that they are draw merchants, I'm going to go with a 2-2.
All right, Dan.
So I'm going to go with a Forest win. For no other reason than I think Cardiff, this isn't based on any results in the past, but they just fit that box for me of teams that we usually get a result against at home when we play teams like Birmingham. And they kind of roll over to a degree. So I think they might get a bit of a bounce off Harris, but they're going to concede goals ultimately. And I don't think we're in the mood to concede more than one at home. So I'm backing us for I'd say 2-0.
Oh, mate, same as me. I went 2-0 for this game. It's going to be a battle of the shithouse managers, isn't it? Because Neil Harris under Millwall was real defensive. And Sabri's the ultimate shithouse Reds. So, I actually went for a 2-0 win. I think it won't be the prettiest of games, but I just think we're the stronger team. We're at home. I don't think Harris is the best manager in the world. I think we'll come away with 3 points and a 2-0 win on that one. So let's see how we come on in the next kind of 7 days. It's going to be busy. I felt like we've not done anything for the last like 2 weeks or so. So I'm really excited to get some games back in. And let's see how we get on with our predictions.
Well, as we wrap up here, boys, there are two other matches that we do need to just talk about very quickly. One is England sticking 4 goals past Mirich. And the other, of course, is the Seattle Sounders led by the marvellous Jordan Morris sticking it to Toronto. Sorry, Jordan.
That was brutal, that. That's the last football match I've seen is Toronto FC losing the MLS Cup final.
Anyone who's listened to the pod in the past will know that my daughter is type 1 diabetic, and Jordan Morris is probably one of the most high profile athletes in the world. It's also T1D. So I was dragging my 11-year-old daughter down to a bar in Austin for a watch party and cheering on Jordan Morris more so than the Sounders, but certainly happy to see him raise the MLS Cup in his home stadium. So anyway, lads, thank you so very much for this episode, for covering up for the lost episode that will never be heard. I do want to give a quick shout out to Bootbags. I think being associated with us has actually helped their business pretty well. And I did see a post the other day on Instagram. They're down to their last, I think, 3 or 4 red boot bags. And I have to think that flurry of sales on red boot bags is largely down to our listenership. So it's certainly been a great partnership with Bootbags, and we do appreciate them. How does Corey usually wrap this thing? Oh, yeah, of course. I know. You Reds!
You Reds!
You Reds!
Cheers, boys.
Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast podcast.